grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a beautiful day we have had, that we have enjoyed in your midst and in the fellowship of your people. May God continue to just rich you and your ministry here richly. Beloved, there is a theme that runs through the Bible, that man has sinned against God, and that sin must be punished. Man cannot save himself. There's another theme running through the Bible, beginning with Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where we have that promise of a Savior, of one who would, which would be Satan, he would bruise the heel of Jesus, but that Jesus would crush the head of Satan. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There are two verses I want to read this evening before I begin to read our text. And I'm very grateful for these two verses. They have been special to me for a long time. And it's really verse 5 of the first 5 verses I'm going to read from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then verse 5, and the light shineth in the darkness. And listen to this, and the darkness comprehended it not. Or we might say here, some translations say, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. Isn't that beautiful? That's where our victory is. It's in the light, and the darkness cannot overpower the light. And with that, I would like to turn to also a familiar passage, and it's in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I love this verse after we just had the confession from Peter that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto Peter, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock Jesus Christ, I will build my church. And do you remember what it says after that? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There is victory in Jesus, and there's a song also when we read it or sing it, and it's called Victory in Jesus. I would like to turn with you now for our text for this evening, John chapter 18. John chapter 18, and we will read the first 11 verses, and they are as follows in Jesus' name. John 18. It's the betrayal and the arrest of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, who betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples, or Jesus often went there, was accustomed to going there with his disciples. Verse 3, Jesus then, having received a band of Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things, notice that, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said this unto them, I am he. They went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek you? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, or let these others be free. That the saying might be fulfilled which ye speak of, them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Peter, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, or into the scabbard. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And we'll read verse 12 also. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and they led him away. Amen. Beloved, from the foundation of the world, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, had a plan. The hour had come, the time of Jesus' teaching about himself, that he was the way, the truth, and the life, was now finished. The past prophecies of the Old and New Testament would now come to fruition. He would become the Lamb of God who would take away, who would take upon himself the sins of the world. And this would complete his mission. Well, after he ascended, then he and the Father, of course, would send the Holy Spirit to the earth, and now he works. But he would complete the mission of saving the world, you and me from our sins, and whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. Verses 1 and 2. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples also. And Judas also, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus, often he was accustomed to going there with his disciples. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ deliberately went to a place that was familiar to Judas. Jesus was giving himself up totally, completely, voluntarily. And let us look. And by the way, before I go back to 17, because it says at the beginning of this verse, when Jesus had spoken these words, I want us to go back to what some of those words were for a moment. But notice that they went into a garden, which was, and they don't say it here, the Garden of Gethsemane. And Gethsemane means oil press. And that's where, and John doesn't talk about this in his gospel. Each gospel will give different details about his agony in the garden and before he was crucified. But when we read all of them, then the details are filled in. But the garden means, the Gethsemane means oil press. And you can then think for yourself what that means, what that name then would symbolize and what Jesus would go through. And notice also in verse 2, and also Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place. And now we know why, because Jesus would go there often. And by the way, the reason they came there, why Judas led them in the first place, and tomorrow we'll look at this a little more closely. But there, during the Passover season, literally millions of Jews would come to the Passover in Jerusalem. Be like inner Minneapolis, the inner city. And that's why they needed someone to lead them to where Jesus was. The people did not know. And if you think about driving into Minneapolis and trying to find someone, now you get the picture. But Judas knew where he was accustomed to going to at night. So he leads them there to betray Jesus to them. By the way, Judas was the embodiment of Satan. Satan is now trying to work through Judas to keep Jesus from going to the cross to save the world. Now, it says Jesus spoke these words. Let's just go back to chapter 17 and look at the first first five verses there, just for a moment. 17 verses 1 through 5. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now that's very critical, that they may know me also, whom you have sent, Jesus himself. Jesus acknowledged, he says here, that the Father has sent him, and he came to this earth to do the Father's will, and he's going to do it. Remember Luke chapter 9, verse 51, and Jesus set his face, isn't that a wonderful verse? Resolutely, steadfastly toward Jerusalem. He knew what he was about and what he was going to do. When he made that announcement, I believe it's one of the first times he reveals to his disciples, whom they don't, and they don't really understand. But he said, I must go to Jerusalem. And he set his face like flint. He has one thing in his mind in particular now, and that's to go there to be crucified. Then he says in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He has now completed what God wanted him to do just before he was crucified. Now the hour had come. And now, O Father, and this is so beautiful, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Isn't that incredible? Do you get the picture of what he is saying here? He's not going to be held in the grave. Death won't be able to keep him. Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee. When? Which I had with thee before the world was. He was alongside God the Father Almighty, and he came from there to this earth as the incarnation, as a babe, became man. He was man and God in combination. He gave up his divine powers while upon this earth so that he could experience what you and I experience during our daily lives. But he never sinned. And he says to glorify him with the glory which he had with thee before the world was. That means he's going to go back to the Father's side. That grave won't be able to hold him. Beloved, Jesus was not a victim. And I know I used to always think that. I don't know if I should be ashamed of that or not, but I guess we learn along the way. Jesus was not a victim. He was the victor, and he would be the victor. But he had to go through this to pay for the sins of you and of me. What a beautiful picture. And then in verse 8, I just noticed that quickly. For I have given unto them, that's his disciples, the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. I think of the Gospels where Jesus says to the disciples that they are to go out with the word. And he said, when the people hear you, they hear me. They hear Jesus. When you and I preach and teach the word, if we are teaching it correctly, with truth, as the scriptures are, Jesus says that the people are hearing him through those who preach and teach the word. What a beautiful picture. And then also 13:1-3. John 13, 1 through 3. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, do you remember, by the way, I'm going to pause there for a moment. The first time I think we see anything about the hour to come is back in John chapter 2, isn't it? At the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And remember when they ran out of wine at the wedding and Jesus' mother comes to Jesus and she says, okay, you know, she knew something about Jesus. She knew that he was special and that God had a special mission for him. And she said, Jesus, they need some more wine. And Jesus, what woman, what do you have to do with me? He said, my hour has not yet come. He, at this point, he couldn't, he just wanted to kind of sneak away, I think. But he said, my hour has not yet come, but now it has come. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. After supper, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that's important for us to know, and that he was come from God and went to God. It is God's will that Jesus, his only begotten Son, would go to that cross and pay the price for our sins. But I want you to look at verse 2, and we're going to look at this a little more tomorrow, but just briefly tonight. And supper being ended, the devil having now been put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Remember we said that Judas is the embodiment of Satan. And we look at this, I don't know that it's wrong, but we say, poor Judas, and he didn't have any choice and so forth. But notice this, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Listen to this from James chapter 1, 13 and 14. He was now tempted to betray Jesus. He was one of the 12 who had walked with Jesus and lived with him for 3 years with the other disciples. Verse 13, James 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. It wasn't God who was responsible for this. He didn't put Satan into Judas. Let no man say Judas was a man, just like you and I. When he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God didn't put a Judas up to this. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Judas had ulterior motives, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, as I said. But when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And it brought forth death. Because Judas never turned back from his betrayal to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, verses 3 through 5. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, he went forth and said unto them, whom are you seeking? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, who betrayed him, stood with them. He was at the forefront. They came at night. And I'm a little hesitant to to use the word because I just don't like the word, I guess, but I'm saying that they were chicken. They came at night so that they wouldn't cause a riot. Jesus had become so popular that if they would have gone after him in the daytime, Jesus would have had people to help him. There would have been a riot on the hands of the chief priests and elders and the Roman soldiers and so forth. The general population listened to Jesus. They believed in him. But the chief priests and Pharisees were jealous of him. Jesus was taking their place. And they didn't like that. They were going to lose their jobs. So they wanted him killed. By the way, I asked this question. You look at the text we just read. Did the crowd need Jesus to point? Did the crowd need Jesus to point? Or did the crowd need Judas? I knew there was something wrong there. Did the crowd need Judas to point Jesus out? The crowd needed Judas to find where Jesus was at night in the dark among millions of people. They needed him for that. But when they got there, did they need Jesus, their Judas, to point Jesus out? Look at this text. Whom do you seek? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. Jesus voluntarily pointed himself out, didn't he? This was his hour. By the way, it also says in one text that this was their hour. If you recall, many times before this, they would come to seize Jesus and somehow he would slip away and they would lose him in the crowds. That's because it wasn't Jesus' hour and it wasn't their hour yet either. But now it's the hour has come, and in the book of Luke, it says, because now it was their hour, now Jesus would allow them to take him and to bring him before the authorities. So he voluntarily steps forward to give himself up. You know, we know the passage where it says that Jesus said that, you know, he could have called 10,000 angels. And we won't take time to read it tonight, but he could have called 10,000 angels. And we even sing that song, don't we? He could have slipped away because he was God. He was man, yet he was God. But no, now was the time for the Lamb of God to be slain for the sins of the world. Now, as we go on here in verse 6, as soon as then as he had said unto them, I am he. Isn't this fascinating? They went backward and fell to the ground. Think about that. He went backward. They went backward and fell to the ground. Why? What's going on? I understand that through some readings and Josephus and some others, that there could have been hundreds of people who came to get Jesus and take him away. The Roman soldiers, the chief priests, the Pharisees, and so forth, the Sanhedrin. And Judas, you know, he just didn't know for sure if just a few of them could take him. And they thought there's power in numbers. But remember Jesus saying, he could have called 10,000 angels. There was something about this man. He had just been in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there in agony, he sweat, as it were, drops of blood, as it were. But he prays to God for help. He knows he has to go, nevertheless, thy will be done. And he prays for strength. And an angel comes to comfort him and be with him, and he is strengthened. And when he leaves that garden, now he leaves with confidence, That's why he can say even to the guards and so forth, I am he. I'm the one that you are looking for. Now he's confident and he is strong again. He had set his face to Jerusalem, to the cross, and nothing now could stop him. And they fell backward, fell to the ground. Beloved, in the beginning, God. He was there in the beginning with God at the creation. And we could go on and on about our Lord Jesus Christ and his power. Thanks be to God for that, those verses we read at the outset, that the power of darkness didn't understand it, and the power of darkness cannot overcome the light. The gates of hell cannot overcome the church, the power of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, then asked he them again, whom seek you? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. He's talking about the disciples with him. Let these who are with me go free. And verse 9 explains what happens, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke of them which thou givest me, he had lost none. And that was fulfilled. That is in verse 12 of chapter 17. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And then we read on. Excuse me. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath or scabbard. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? I'd like to turn to Matthew 26, verses 51 through 56. Matthew 26, verses 51 through 56, and read those words. 51 through 56. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto them, put up thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? And verse 56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him. Jesus knew fully well what the agony of that cross would bring, the agony to his body and soul. They would be made an offering, knowing full well the cost and the results. He voluntarily gave himself to die on the cross. Remember, Gethsemane means oil press. Just a final comment. Why would the multitude of people, all those numbers against Jesus, fall to the ground when he looked at them and said, I am he? There was something about this man. In the beginning, remember, Jesus was not a victim, as I once thought that he was, but he would be the victor for you and for me, so we would not have to suffer upon that cross what he suffered. Thanks be to God. Amen.